Christ is coming, but you have to wait for it. That's kind of the whole point of Advent, so that was perfect. Let us pray. God, have us all take our hears and hear through them, take our minds and think through them, take our hearts and set them on fire. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Well, this first Sunday of Advent has always been one of my very favorite services. I've always loved walking into the sanctuary on this morning, because there are fir trees up front, and there's that deep, earthy aroma of evergreen. There are purple banners hanging. There are lit candles in every window. And I love walking in here, because when I walk in, then I know what's coming next. I know what to expect. I know what's ahead. I know that we're going to fill this space with the sound of our voices singing together, "Come thou long-expected Jesus," and "O come, Emmanuel," and later, "The first Noel," and "Joy to the world." And I know that the next Saturday, there's going to be a children's Advent workshop downstairs, and there are going to be dozens and dozens of kids down there making ornaments and decorating gingerbread houses and eating as many cookies as their parents will let, or more likely, as many cookies as they can get away with before their parents catch on. And I know that our daughters are going to come home. We're going to decorate a Christmas tree, and we're going to make candy. We're going to open gifts. But on this first Sunday of Advent, amidst this resurgent pandemic, I walked into an empty sanctuary. I am here alone today. There are evergreen trees behind me, but we didn't bother hanging the purple banners this year, and there are no lit candles in the windows, and there won't be a workshop next Saturday. And on Christmas Eve, a sanctuary packed full, in fact, packed beyond capacity, with people lighting candles and singing Silent Night, that's completely out of the question. Our daughter, Laura, who works down at Packard Children's Hospital in the Bay Area, she can't come home, not in a pandemic. Our worship committee is making tentative plans for us to gather outdoors and sing carols, maybe down at Sunnyside School, you know, masked and socially distanced. But the more I listen to the governor, the more I follow the news, the more I talk to healthcare and public health professionals, I am not optimistic at all that that is going to happen. And so this year really reminds me of what Britt said earlier about Narnia. Feels like it's always winter. Doesn't feel like it's much at all Christmas. And yet, on this first Sunday, separated as we are by this pandemic, we have lit candles on our Advent wreaths as a sign of hope. Because hope is different from optimism. Hope can persevere even when we are pessimistic. And that's even more important to know this year than ever. See, optimism and pessimism are based on the past. They're based on what we've known, on what we've experienced, on the way things have always been. And so that's why every other Advent, when I've walked into this sanctuary and I can see the trees, I can hear the music, I can see the candles, I'm optimistic. That's how it works. Optimism extrapolates from the past and then it projects it forward. And of course, it's not just at Christmas. You know, if you have a child in your life, one of your own children, a grandchild, a niece, a nephew, a neighbor kid, if that child can pick up a book at four and start to sound out some words, maybe even read a couple short phrases, you can be really optimistic that that child's going to do pretty well in school. Or later in life, you know, for those of us like myself and our family, settled, lead pretty privileged lives, we can be pretty optimistic that the future is going to continue to be pretty good for us. Optimism extrapolates from the past. It takes what happened and then it projects it forward. And that's how we live a lot of our life. You know, I was rereading Abraham Heschel's book, The Prophets, a couple of weeks ago. And in it, he makes the observation. He writes, "We see the present in the past tense." We see the present in the past tense. We see our lives now in light of what has been, in light of what we've known, what we've experienced, what we've come to expect. But when we do, we're also limited by the past, right? We're limited by our experiences, by what we've come to expect. And sometimes that can make it hard to be optimistic. You know, personally, I mean, if you've struggled with the temptation, if you've struggled with addiction, if you have a history of failed relationships, it can be hard to be optimistic. Or in our public life here in this country. You know, if you look at the past in the United States, every move toward racial justice has been met by a pretty hard backlash of white supremacy. It's a little bit hard to be optimistic. But think about what happens when pessimism takes hold in us. And to be clear, there's plenty to be pessimistic about. Based on the past, I'm pessimistic that relatives who have a deep partisan divide between them are suddenly going to be able to sit and have a genial conversation about politics over the Christmas dinner. Although this year, we're going to have Christmas dinner over Zoom, so maybe we'll be spared some of that awkwardness anyway. Or based on the past, I'm pessimistic that we as a country or as a culture are going to be able to make the changes necessary to slow, let alone to reverse, the effects of global climate change. So there's plenty to be pessimistic about. But think for a moment what happens. What happens to you even when pessimism becomes the dominant reaction, when it settles into your soul? What happens to you? I know when I get pessimistic, I become surly. I get frustrated. I get selfish. I mean, why bother? It doesn't make any difference. Why should I care about them anymore anyway? Or when this country gets pessimistic, what happens? People pull in, right? They start to guard what they've got. They pull away. We build walls down on the border. We harden our immigration policies. We kind of pine for a fictive past when things were great, right? We have to protect our way of life. That's what happens. Optimism and its flip side, pessimism, are rooted in and extrapolated from the past. They're grounded in our experiences and our circumstances. But because of that, they also have no capacity to create anything new. I mean, so when that's all we've got, it leaves us vulnerable to despair, to cynicism, to apathy. But hope is different. When hope looks ahead, it doesn't draw from the past. It's not determined by our circumstances. It's not limited by our experiences or history. Hope comes from somewhere else. And the prophet Isaiah knows it. And so in our reading today, the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 64, we hear the prophet cry out to God, "Tear open the heavens and come down." Now, by this point in the book of Isaiah, Jerusalem, the capital city, the center of the public life of the Israelites, Jerusalem has been sacked. The temple, the center of their religious life, their sense of identity and calling, has fallen. The temple has fallen. And the leaders and frankly, a lot of the loot in Jerusalem have been carried off into exile. Everything in their past that was the source of their identity, of their sense of purpose, of their optimism, all of it's gone. And when they're allowed to return, they go home to a city of ruins. So given what's happened, it's hard to be optimistic about what's ahead. And so the prophet Isaiah cries out, "Tear open the heavens and come down." He cries for God to do something new, something beyond what they can imagine, what they can expect. It is a cry for hope, a cry for God to create a way where there is no way, a cry for God to create new possibilities, to create a new future. And we read this cry of Isaiah on the first Sunday of Advent because on Christmas, we celebrate the good news. We celebrate the gospel that God did tear open the heavens and come down, that God did come to us in the birth of Jesus, born a child and yet a king, that God did answer Isaiah's cries. God did awesome deeds that we did not expect. An angel appears to a young Palestinian girl in occupied territory, and she becomes the mother of God. And her child, the son of a builder in Nazareth, goes on to heal people and feed crowds and astonish everyone with his wisdom. Most of all, he teaches us to see, to imagine, to believe that we can love each other, that we can love our neighbors, that we can love strangers, widows and orphans and aliens and refugees, that we can love even our enemies in the way that God has loved us all. God did come to us in the birth of Jesus. And we hold on to the hope that God continues to come to us, that God continues to come to us with the promise of healing and mercy and equity, that God comes with the promise that the Spirit will guide us into the new ways of God's beloved community and will sustain us with the wisdom and the courage that we need. We hold on to the hope that God comes with the promise that all things are being made new. So when optimism starts to flag, when pessimism starts to settle in, when we despair that things will ever change, when we despair that we will ever change, when we can't see a way forward, when we can't see how things can be different, when we're ready to give up, we're ready to give in, we light a candle of hope in the faith and the trust that God's love and grace and peace have come into the world and can shine in us and among us and through us. But precisely because this hope comes from God, because it's not something we can create within ourselves, because it is new, we have to pay attention. And so in the gospel reading today from Mark 13, we hear Jesus telling the disciples to keep alert. He says they can't know the day or the hour. He says they can't know when the time will come. And so keep awake. Three times in those short five verses, he tells them, keep awake. See, to be hopeful is to expect the unexpected. A while back, Pope Francis, in an interview, asked the question, do we allow ourselves to be amazed? Do we allow ourselves to be surprised? Do we? Do we allow ourselves to expect the unexpected? See, I think most years it's hard for most of us to be surprised. At least it is for me. You know, this is my 22nd Advent at Portland Mennonite Church. I've seen a lot. I got a pretty good idea what's going to happen most Advents. Or at this point in my life, I'm 61, my wife's 61. When we plan for the future, frankly, the last thing we want are surprises, right? That's why you buy insurance. That's why you save for retirement. That's why you start to meet with retirement planners, right? Financial planners. But this year's different. And maybe this year, we can more easily allow ourselves to be surprised. Maybe. Because there's always the temptation, and especially now that we're more optimistic about these vaccines that are coming online, there's always the temptation to just get back to normal, get back to the way things were, get back to business as usual. Instead, this year, can we allow ourselves to be surprised by hope? You know, when I look at the big challenges in front of us, I'm not optimistic. I mean, given our past as a country, I'm not super optimistic about progress toward racial equity in the United States. But, you know, a year ago, I wouldn't have expected that we were going to have a line in our church budget for reparations either. So there you go. And whatever happens out there, here at Portland Mennonite Church, I want to be personally ready and willing to be surprised by where that conversation can take us. It's going to be hard. It's going to ask a lot of us. Frankly, as the lead pastor of this church, I'm trying to be a non-anxious presence, and sometimes that's a challenge. But can we allow ourselves to be surprised by hope? In the same way, I'm not super optimistic about our ability to respond well as a culture, as a world to global climate change. And I'm not expecting God to be like the, you know, remember the Deus Ex Machina on those ancient Greek plays, just be lowered from above and magically solve whatever plot problems there were. But I do have hope that if we watch, if we pay attention, if we stay alert, we will be surprised by new opportunities for hospitality and generosity as people are increasingly displaced from their homes in this country by climate change. I do hope that we'll be surprised by new challenges to change the ways we live for the sake of the health of others, as well as for the sake of the health of the planet itself. And it's not just out there either. Can we let ourselves be surprised by hope in here? It's been a tough year. It's been a year of disappointment, of uncertainty, of loss, of frustration. Can we let ourselves be surprised by God's grace when we have come up short this year? When we have not been as resolute or as patient or as kind as we wished, can we let ourselves be surprised by the gift of a fresh start? Can we let the Spirit surprise us with renewed energy when we're about ready to give up on a relationship, to give up on a person, to give up on being generous and kind and patient? Or can we let ourselves be surprised by possibilities that we hadn't imagined? And, you know, if it's unexpected, I can't tell you what to expect. Just keep alert. Keep alert for moments, for places when God will come to us. Keep alert for the moments and the places where God has something that we need to do. We can also be bearers of surprise for others. Maybe it's an unexpected warm word in a relationship that's become brittle or fractured. Maybe it's anonymously paying a bill for someone who's having trouble making ends meet by the end of the month. Maybe it's just a card, handwritten, the stamp on the envelope sent to someone you don't really know all that well. And I don't think anyone's ever upset by a surprise plate of Christmas cookies left at their front door, although maybe give them a heads up so they know to look for it. Can we allow ourselves to be surprised? Can we be the bearers of surprise for others? This Sunday, we light the first candle of our Advent wreaths, and we pray that God will light hope on the wick of our lives so that we might shine in our world. May it be so. Amen.